what's up? Welcome to episode number 8 of Never Offside with Julie and Kat.
What's up, Jules?
Well, we're both here. We made it through a trade deadline. That's a first.
It's actually crazy. It's crazy to say that you and I didn't move last week. Like,
I mean, right? It was, I kept thinking about y'all because it was like the first year in a long time y'all have probably sat back and relaxed, kicked your feet up, and just watched the show. And
it was a really bizarre feeling being, you know what I mean? And all I could do was offer support to so many people because on our team,
they all got traded away.
Holy, that was a crazy week. Ty and I were literally having lunch together and his phone was just nonstop FaceTimes from guys pretty much saying bye, you know? So it just was like, it was emotional and I all I could do was tell the girls on the group chat, like, I'm here. Like, I can tell you all the advice. I'll give you all the tips, all the moving, all the what the new team has to do. Like, you know, I have my list of, of what happened.
You are a resource this go around.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You and I have been through it a lot. So it's wild. But yeah, today we're going to talk to Nate Thompson because he has been traded as many times as Ty. He's been traded 4 times. So I feel like Nate's a good guy to talk to about stories of trades and how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, perfect guest to kind of give light into that and kind of the details that go into a trade. Like, kind of, I think everybody's wondering, like, what does it actually look like for us on our side of things? And we touch on it with Nate, but it's quick is what it is. Like, it happens. The guys are usually gone within hours on a flight.
Yep.
And if you are married or have a significant other on this side of it, you are left to figure it out, pack everything up, talking with both teams who are helping you coordinate the move, and things just move quickly.
On every single one of those FaceTimes, the one question Ty kept asking was, when's your flight? Oh, it's at 2, it's at 3. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just so quick. And it's, I mean, the amount of times that this has happened to us and, you know, it's just never gets easy. So,
well, yeah. And it's funny. It's come and it's gone. And here we are on the other side of it. And over the weekend, it was also International Women's Day, which the league is doing such a wonderful job kind of magnifying. And the Sharks did a wonderful night, Women in Teal night, which Kat is rocking one of Line Change's sweatshirts we actually did for their activation. Just highlighting the women in sports and whether that be the female fan, hockey ops women that make the ship float, to everybody, to the support staff, to us behind the scenes. I think it's just a wonderful weekend that the league and the teams really put their own little spin on International Women's Day and kind of bringing that some more focus. So, yeah, it was fun. Sharks. How was it in San Jose?
The Sharks did a Women of Teal night and basically and debuted their line change on the same night, which was great.
I love it.
You know, female company. So it was great. It was kind of they've put together this committee and I'm part of it, the Women of Teal committee, and what they're trying to do is just try to kind of get advice on, you know, what female fans are into and what can grow the game there. So there's a big group of us and we all met together and they honored a bunch of women at the game and especially women in sports too, which was great. So yeah, it was really cool. They did a really great job and I saw lots of people all over that line change. So
I love it. It looked so good in the picture. And that teal is honestly, I kept some stuff on the side for when Jeff retires. I'm going to be rocking all that stuff because it's so cool. But we cannot go any further without talking about the sleepover. And before we go even more into that, we need to bring Tyler into this. So go get Tyler and let's chat about the sleepover.
Okay, I'll go get him. Hold on one second. All right. We got him. Hey, Ty.
What's up?
Tyler, we have got to expand on this sleepover that went viral. Like,
all right.
Well, first off, I will say we weren't going to have you on this first season because it felt like a little bit of a cop out.
Right. It was an easy ask.
Like, yeah, easy ask. But I would say during such a stressful week, trade week, especially on your team, this was a good moment, right? A good feel good moment.
I mean, it was a little easier this year knowing I wasn't going to get moved.
I was so going to ask you.
A little less stressful. Well,
yeah, just sitting back, did it feel just a little bit nicer to know, like, we're not going anywhere?
Yeah, it kind of sucked, though, just because obviously a bunch of my teammates ended up getting moved. But so it was kind of funny. I was, like, giving them the advice of, just try and relax. Just go to sleep. Like, just do all these things. And they're like, you know that it's not that easy. And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
So leading up to this, the trade deadline, the picture went viral of you on a rollaway bed on the road sleeping with Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini.
As soon as I posted the photo too, I knew it was going to go viral, especially just because the amount of attention that the two of them get. So, we were in Colorado and I was in the hot tub with Will and I was like, all right, it's time to post this. It's kind of like, I don't know if you saw their TikTok, they did like a basketball TikTok during Christmas, I think. And I remember just like waking up one day and it was like extremely viral. So I was kind of assuming it was going to be something like that.
Run back the entire story because when you texted me, I didn't believe you.
So we were on the bus from Toronto to Buffalo because we were playing a back-to-back. So we ended up busing instead of flying just because it was quicker. And I can't remember. I think I was talking to Will about golf or something like that. And I went to the front of the bus and he was like laughing and whatever. We were just like talking. And then all of a sudden he's out of nowhere too. He's like, all right, if all three of us score tomorrow, you're sleeping over. And I'm like, Will, like, I'm not sleeping over. Like, I'm 32 years old. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. And he's like, nope, it's going to happen. I feel it. You know, I feel we're all going to score, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, we ended up playing really well in Buffalo. And I scored the empty net goal, whatever, with like 30, 40 seconds left, whatever. Stop. It was from our end. And I'm like, as soon as it went in, I went to the bench and I was laughing. I didn't even realize that, you know, all three of us scored. And he's like, sleepover. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not happening. And then we ended up getting on the plane after the game and my coach came up to me and was like, you have to sleep over, you know that, right? And I'm like, oh god, here we go. It was funny. It was a good
so
time.
You didn't think about missing the empty net on purpose so you could just have a good night's sleep?
Honestly, if I had thought of it, I would have passed it.
The world is glad yeah, we're Jules glad you it. Didn't. It was the best thing on the internet all day. Like, I flipped the phone to Jeff right away when I saw it, and he bust out laughing. He's like, that's the best thing ever.
It's so funny because on the bench, they were freaking out. So it's funny that that's what Will was screaming at you.
It was, yeah, it was ridiculous. And you know what? It was actually so much fun. And I mean, just because, I mean, the relationship that I have with those two just in general is obviously really good. And I mean, Kat knows that, you know, Will FaceTimes me like every other day just to talk and, you know, I've golfed with him a few times and stuff like that. So it was funny. It was, you know, we were just like talking about random things. And I don't even know if I told Kat this, but in the middle of the night, Smitty's feet were pretty much like right in my face. And I didn't realize, but apparently I grabbed his toe in the middle of the night while he was sleeping. He's like, he like woke up and he was like, what the hell are you doing?
Why?
And I didn't even, I have no clue. I mean, I'm assuming that I like rolled over and I just saw it. And I was half asleep or fully asleep. But he told me I grabbed his toe in the middle of the night, which is so random.
Okay, I have there's so many questions. That the first one being, going with the toe grabbing. Was there a snorer? Is there anybody snoring?
Yeah. So we were talking, and I can't remember. It was late, just because we got in to Colorado late, and I want to say it was like 3 or 4, something like that. And all of a sudden, literally, all three of us were talking, and all of a sudden, Will rolled over, and he was asleep in like 5 seconds. I'm not even exaggerating. And he was so he was out, and then the only reason why I knew is because he started snoring a little bit. But I can't, in the middle of the night, I don't think I heard anything else, but just that was like the weirdest part of how we were literally full conversation, and all of a sudden he was asleep, and I'm like, wait, what just happened? And then Max started dying laughing. He's like, yeah, this is just what he does, you know.
And that was the other question, is that I think I was shocked that they share a room, because I didn't think that that was like a thing anymore. But then you remind yourself that they're 18 years old, and like that makes sense. Like, I'd want to have a roommate too on the road.
They need each other. Like, they need each other. It's one of those.
Like the panic of.
Yeah, like every, like they come down for breakfast together. They are honestly together all the time. And even here in San Jose, they live with Thornton and Marlo, and I'm pretty sure their houses are like, you know, 5 minutes away from each other. So they hang out, and when they're not hanging out, they're FaceTiming each other. Just like, I mean, it's funny. They're 18 and 19 years old, and just having the best time playing in the NHL.
He texted me that he's got a sleepover. I don't believe him. You guys stayed up pretty late, so I didn't actually know that he actually physically slept in the room. So I wake up to a FaceTime from in that room.
Oh, gosh.
And that is how I found out. And I was just like, hey, guys. Like, just the weirdest way to wake up.
It was also really Zetterlund was on the same floor. And for whatever reason, I'm like, oh, I want to be on the same floor as them. So it's just easier in case I get up in the middle of the night and want to go to my room.
Can't take it anymore.
And the room was literally right next door. So in the morning, Will woke up. We had the day off. So Will woke up and went and met up with his buddy. And so I woke up and I'm like, all right, it's time for me to get out of this roller bed. Like, my back is in one. So I have to get into a normal size, normal bed. And then I get into my bed in my room. And then like 5 minutes later, Smitty is like, all right, we got to go in the hot tub. Come in the hot tub. I'm like, can you like let me just relax? Like, it's my off day.
I'm 32.
Like, I'm doing more than my regular days. So
apparently, Ty told me they were all just giggling in the hot tub, and the coach was what, in the gym? You said
he was in the gym, so it was the hot tub and the pool, and we get in the pool, and I'm like throwing Smitty around, and then all of a sudden. He turns and looks in the window. Our coach is running on the treadmill. I'm like, oh my God, this is so pathetic. This is so ridiculous.
Literally just sounds like if you were around my little boys right now.
It's the exact same thing. Like, I literally I choke slammed him, and then he like grabbed me and was like on my back, and I'm like, this is literally like the little brother I never had.
I die at the scene thinking of his coach just front row view watching them.
So
you
ridiculous.
Know what? I love this. So, okay, back to it. The question is, who took the picture?
So we there actually were a few guys that came in the room, so it wasn't just us the entire night.
Not just you three giggling.
No, yeah, not just us three
wearing
idiots.
What looked to be matching sweatshirts
and the glass of milk that everyone's so intrigued by.
Don't worry, that's coming up next. That question's coming up.
So it ended up Mario Ferraro was in the room too. I was like, you know what, Mario, this would be actually so funny if you take, and I wasn't gonna, you know, put it on Instagram. I don't normally do stuff like that. So I was like, it's literally, I'm just going to send it to Kat and then like whatever. And I think, I don't know if I did send it to you that night or if I sent it in the morning, but.
No, I woke up to the FaceTime and then the photo came in a couple group chats.
Oh yeah. So funny.
Mario took it, you said?
Yeah, Mar took it. Mar took it.
Okay. I was like, Kat, don't tell me because I want to hear Ty's answer, but I'm like, please, if it was self-timer,
I was going to say, imagine me self-timed. I couldn't even, I don't even know how to do that, so.
I would have died. Those young kids know how, that's for sure.
For sure, for sure.
It kind of looks like a self-time photo, to be honest. It's like a little out of focus.
It was just so good. I just love that. And I feel like I sat there and where Jeff and I are talking, like, this is what makes hockey so special. There's all these wholesome moments that still happen within this league. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not in other professional leagues, and y'all could speak to it because you have, you know, baseball friends, football friends. But I just feel like hockey is different in the fact that everybody, like, nobody takes anything too seriously, like, and there are these young moments, like, you know, for them to think about this bet, you know, I feel like it's so clever and fun and innocent, like
boys being boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's for our season in particular too, like, it hasn't obviously gone very well. We're not winning as many games as we wanted. And that road trip, it was just like a good road trip. We were playing well, and we were scoring a lot of goals, and it was just like funny, and honestly, it was just like natural, and it was just a good time, you know. So it's fun.
I think I'm really glad you posted it, just because, as we said, it's a stressful time. It's trade week, whatever, and the Sharks, you know, they're not in first place. So it was nice for you to kind of show that the vibes are actually really, really great, and you love your teammates. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it a million times. It's, you know, I honestly think that if we were in first place, we would be having like way too much fun. Like, it would just be ridiculous. It's like that's how this group kind of feels. And you know, we still come to the rink and work every day and try and get better. And I think that's honestly what's making us even closer, is because we all understand that we want to be winning games. And I think that's just like the best part of us still being able to have so much fun together.
Okay. Hockey aside, the glass of milk, talk about it.
So they ordered cookies. And so no. I guess no. From what I understand, they order milk and cookies every night. So they're like, they kept trying me to get me to have some. And I'm like, because it's like 4 a.m. I'm so tired. Like, I don't even want to be talking anymore. And then I just like hear them like chewing on the cookies. And then, I mean, that was literally like we had multiple people text us being like, all right, like, did they actually drink the milk? And I mean, I'm pretty sure, no, there's no way he would have drank it in the morning. But
I hope not.
One of them drank theirs. I don't know.
I mean, they might have just been like the dipping.
I mean, the dipping is the best part. Yeah. So.
Jeff Petrie.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the lights were off.
Milk and cookies guy every night on the road. Now in his later years, he knows he can't do that with all the sugar. Yeah, but
goes to the love handles.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think, like you said, just this whole giving light to y'all's relationship, and you and Kat really. Together, you are like you're like the big sister, but you know, the parents on the team. You guys are taking care of the kids, which makes me LOL, because you know, you guys are just you're the ones keeping me and Jeff young, always getting us to get out and go out and do all the things. But I think it's just, it's keeping these young guys having fun in a pressured situation that, you know, it's not always going to be roses and winning and things like that. So for you guys to take on that leadership, I think is really cool to see. And I heard a little rumor that they might both live with y'all next year. Is that actually
I don't know if it's like a real thing. They also said, they're like, yeah, you know, Kat just won't live here. She'll move somewhere else, and then we'll just move into the house. And I'm like, okay, you guys can bring that up to her. Like, I don't know how this is gonna work out. Like, you know, behind closed doors, I'm sure I'm gonna get a talking to about this at some point.
I might go on just a permanent vacation if that's the
point.
Yeah.
All I'll say is, Kat, you better get per diem so that your grocery bill is covered, because that's gonna be a lot of feeding to do.
Well, Ty keeps teasing me with this idea, because they keep teasing him with this idea. So I always thought it was a tease, but now after this damn bet,
I mean, I feel like, Kat, you travel enough that it's like you'll only be home every so often to, you know, be the mother hen to make sure they're not doing something completely stupid.
I have to. That's true. But
I think they just don't want to pay rent again. they're too cheap. They're still on their entry level deals, so they're trying to get out of paying rent. And then once they get their big tickets, I'll start taking a percentage of whatever they're cooking up.
I love it. Well, you guys are just the best people for the job, so I hope it happens personally. So I'm going to be rooting for that.
We got a lot of people asking if you would ever do the sleepover again.
I mean, I'll do a sleepover if like one of us gets like a hat trick or something. If we all score again, then maybe, but
like it should be a standing thing, I think.
Maybe if you all score again, they have to pull two cots into your room.
Well, so originally they wanted to bring my mattress from my room and put it in the into their room. I'm like, guys,
pull and the so mattress?
Will comes in. Yeah, and it's like a California king. Like this thing's huge. And I'm like, Will is literally like trying to measure it with his hands. He's like measuring the mattress and then going to the door. And then like, I'm like, dude, like, have you never done this? And then he actually tried to get another one for Deli to sleep over to. But when he called the front desk was like, how many people are in that room? And Will's like, oh no, it's just three. It's just three. Like trying to backtrack. I'm like, dude, like you can't have 15 people sleep in one room when that's what he wanted. He literally wanted like a full on slumber party.
Oh my God. I mean, Will, so Will's the one that called downstairs.
Yeah.
And how did they react when they pulled the cot in the room and saw all you guys?
They were like, oh, absolutely. Like, oh, have a great night, guys. And I'm like, oh, this is
Do you need more
so
pillows?
I'm like, this is so embarrassing. But like, I mean, obviously you guys know the rollouts. Like my feet were hanging off of the end. And like I woke up in like the middle of the night, like my back was killing me. It was just ridiculous. So ridiculous.
I love it. Well, I hope the sleepover trend lives on if all three of y'all score a goal. I think we should end with, this is like the question that most parents get asked about their kids. What is your favorite thing about each of them, Will and Macklin?
I think for Will in particular, he just like the energy that, I mean, both are energy. Like that's gotta be both of it. Like the, every single day. And I've said it before about like, about Cole. And I mean, you remember Cole, like every day he's just like in a good mood. And it's the same with Will especially. And then, once like the two of them are together, like they do outrageous things. Like, on off days, our trainer will text me photos of them. And they play sting pong. We have a ping pong table and they play sting pong. So like whoever loses or whatever, they like throw the ball up and they hit it as hard as they can. And like they had like welts on their back one day. My trainer's like, dude, you got to come in and like take care of these guys. I'm like, this is my off day. I'm in bed. And I think did I not show you the photo? Like, no. It's just like full on welts. And I saw it like the next day, like we went in and we practiced, like they still had bruises on their bodies from playing. I'm like, you guys are idiots.
I love it. Well, it sounds like they're a ball of fun and keeping you young.
Yeah.
I feel like every day you come home with a story or two about them. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for elaborating, giving us all the behind the scenes on the sleepover.
No problem.
Maybe we'll have you on next season.
If I'm lucky.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that was so much fun hearing Tyler's, you know, elaboration animation on the sleepover. Just hilarious.
Honestly, Tyler is just the funniest guy, and I'm saying that as my husband. It's funny. He's just always makes me laugh. So, it was funny to hear some new things that he didn't even tell me just then. And those kids are so funny. I don't know.
I love it. I love the dynamic. I love you and Tyler's relationship with them and, you know, really ushering them into the league. And Tyler's the perfect person to play along with these wholesome, fun, just bets and things that just a little goes a long way. Like that broke the internet. And I hope things continue like that. And I am going to be really pulling for the living situation next year at the Chipotle.
When I say I'm going on a season-long vacay, I'm kidding. Honestly, I don't know if that's actually true, but if it were, I wouldn't be mad because they are so funny and they're also very polite, you know? So
yeah.
Like something people don't know was when we hosted Team Thanksgiving, Will came over and he like offered to help me in the kitchen, you know? So it's...
And that's like the memory, like those are like the littlest things and memories. Like I think you and I can both speak to like like we did Thanksgiving at our house in Montreal, and you and I were in the kitchen, you know, and then we were helping Cole do, he had to like post for a watch company or something. So we were like helping take pictures of him. And it's like, that's where, you know, the human side of things, like we are each other's family, and hockey is just so special in that sense. And like, I mean, Jeff, when Jeff was a rookie, he lived with an older teammate, the Joneses, and his wife, Jamie. They're our dearest friends to this day. And it's just so special because that year bond, like, is lasting a lifetime. And they're one of our dearest friends that will last the test of time. So it's just, it's things like that. Like, I don't know. We used to pick up Leon Draisaitl on the way to games every day in Edmonton because he didn't drive. And so Jeff, we swung right by his house and then we'd drop him off after games like a decade ago.
It is funny. I mean, Tyler also in the last few seasons and teams, he's always with like the star children. Like he was with Cole, he was with Jack Hughes. Now he's got Will Mack, you know. So each team he gets traded to or signs with or whatever, there's this like always almost hilarious star child, you know. So it's been fun because Ty is really great at being a mentor because he also is so much fun, you know. So
wait, great. Is Will Mack the official nickname of the duo?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's not even duo. They are one. It's Will Mack.
Should we get shirts made? Like what's next steps?
I mean, that actually, if we're ever going to have podcast merch.
I love it. There we go. Well, up next, we're going to talk to Nate Thompson, all things trade related, his time playing, some talks on GMs that he played for, and kind of how his transition into the broadcasting world has gone. So that's coming up next.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
We're back with our guest who has played with both Tyler and Jeff. He's played on 9 different NHL teams, and he's the co-host of Energy Line with Julie Stewart Binks and Nate Thompson. So welcome, Nate.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Where are we right now?
I am in Los Angeles right now.
Nice. And how was the weekend? What'd you do?
The weekend was pretty good. What did I do? Not a whole lot. I guess I was dad this weekend with my girl, and I don't think I did much. I did jujitsu on Saturday. That's my one of my new things I'm doing. So, other than that, just hung out with Wilder this weekend.
Love that.
Yeah.
So this is our post trade deadline show, and we were thinking of guests, and it's funny, the connection with you is you got traded from the Kings when Tyler played there to Montreal, where Jeff was. So I guess let's just start there. How did that trade go? Because that's probably 2 of the furthest places you can go.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys had me on as your trade bait, I guess you could say, right? Because I am a good one for that. I remember this vividly because we were in the midst, I'm not sure if you remember this, but we were in the midst of a 12-day road trip with the Kings. And our last game was in Washington. And Willie Desjardins was our coach at the time. And I remember getting a call from my agent on the bus, and we're heading back from pregame skate back to the hotel. And he basically said, hey, there's a deal in place to Montreal. Would you go? And at the time, I had a 10-team no trade. And before that season, you know, they give you a list of teams that you don't want to get traded to. Well, but the year before, Montreal didn't make the playoffs. So I was just picking teams that, you know, I knew were going to make the playoffs. Well, Montreal Canadiens were in a playoff spot at the time. So I told my agent, I said, yeah, I'll lift my 10-team no trade to go to Montreal. I walk off the bus. Rob Blake's kind of like waiting for me right there. So I'm like, okay, this is really happening. And he just says to me, hey, he's like, you know, I got a deal in place in Montreal. I know it's on your no trade, you know, 10 team no trade. He's like, would you lift it to go there? I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll go. So walk upstairs, say goodbye to everybody in the meal room right away. Like Willie Desjardins didn't even know, which is, this is the funniest part, is I'm saying goodbye to everybody. I'm heading back down the escalator, going to my room to get my bags. My flight leaves in 2 hours. And he starts talking to me about the game that night.
Oh, no.
And starts saying, like, you know, I really love the way you're working, playing. I can't remember exactly what he says.
You're going to have to find a new guy.
I was like, Willie, I'm sorry. I just got traded to Montreal.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, he didn't really even know because it happened so fast. So, anyways, we're at the end of a 12-day road trip. So, as you know, I mean, obviously, I have a big bag, thankfully, because we were out east. So I did have cold weather clothes, and get traded to Montreal, meet the team in Montreal, practice one day, and then leave right after practice and go on the road again. So I remember I played in a lot of different cities in a month. I can't remember how many it was. I think I kept track. It was like something like over 10 or something like that. So that was kind of how it transpired. And I guess the rest is history. Then I got to, you know, play with Jeff.
Jeffrey, I could listen to trade stories all day long. Like,
yeah,
that one you've just been sitting on. Like, you were traded to our team, didn't hear any of those details, and I'm still just floored with all the different stories. It sounds similar. When Jeff was traded from Edmonton to Montreal, he was on a plane. He got traded 6 a.m. on trade deadline day, was on a plane at 10 a.m. to San Jose, and he played that night in San Jose. And we met the trainer on the highway to grab his hockey bag because the rink was on the other side of town.
It's wild. I mean, and people don't, I think that's what it is people don't understand the human aspect of it, right? There's so much else that goes into it. And you girls know more than anybody,
right,
that goes into it behind the scenes that people don't understand, that you literally are changing your life, but you're not just changing your life. You're changing your life quickly.
quickly is the term, because it quickly. Is, you're on a plane, and as much as you can anticipate it sometimes, because sometimes you're like, oh, like I kind of know or whatever, it still hits you like a ton of bricks, and you're like, you're panicked. I'm like, do you have enough suits? Do you have enough this? Like, I think I'll see you in like a week. You like look at the schedule and you kind of have to like mesh it together to be like, okay, you're good. You're set. Go to Lululemon and get some more underwear and, you know, see you on the other side.
The amount of times Tyler has just not packed himself well, you know, yeah. And he's the duplicates he owns because of trades is just, I can't.
I'm sure Nate has gone on plenty of shopping trips once he's gotten to a new city.
Yeah, you feel like you have to just get all the things you need again, all the new stuff. It's a cycle, I guess you could say.
And it's never not shocking. It really is never not shocking. Did you have one that actually shocked you?
I did, and this one happened in the summertime, so I guess a little bit different. I was being traded from Tampa to Anaheim. And this one's good because, you know, this is your current general manager. Steve Yzerman was a general manager of Tampa at the time. And Steve, growing up, was my favorite player. I was a huge Red Wings fan, huge Yzerman fan. And that day or that weekend, I don't know if you guys remember Keith Ollie.
A
former player. So he was getting married that weekend in Saskatchewan. So we were all in Saskatchewan for a wedding. Guys from Tampa, Teddy Purcell was with me. This is actually a good story. And so the next day, we're all flying back Sunday. I get a call. I'm like walking off the plane, and I get a call from Teddy saying, I just got traded to Edmonton. And I'm like, oh, man, didn't know what to say, kind of laughing, kind of saying sorry, you know what I mean? And he's not happy. And later, like an hour later, BJ Crombie on our team gets traded to Arizona. So it's like guys are being plucked that day. And I'm like, okay, it's 9 o'clock, 9:30. I'm safe. I'm like, I'm not getting traded. I know I'm not part of this. About 10:30 p.m., I get a call. It says Steve Yzerman on my phone, Sunday night. And I'm like, well, he's probably not calling to chat. So
How's your evening?
Let's chit chat.
Yeah. So he calls me, tells me, you know, Nate, I just want to let you know, thank you, all that stuff. You know, small talk, traded you to Anaheim. Glad you go to a good team. And I guess this is where the good story part comes in. So he says, you know, if there's anything you need, let me know, whatever. And I say, Steve, there's one thing. He's like, what's that? I was like, can I get a signed jersey?
Oh my God. I love that so much. And, great.
And he goes, he's like, and he kind of like blanks for a second. He goes, what do you mean? Like a Tampa one? I'm like, no, Steve, Detroit, Red Wings.
Number 19. Let's go.
And he starts laughing. He's like, yeah. No problem. Well, you know, we'll get that sorted out. So fast forward years later, I'm playing for Montreal. And we play in Detroit, and I finally get a hold of his, you know, team services people, whatever, and they say, hey, Steve's got a jersey for you, whatever, and it, he personalized it. He remembered, gave it to me, texted me after the game, whatever, so pretty cool. So, I mean, it was...
I love that.
It was kind of bittersweet. You know, I got traded from my favorite player, but at the same time, it was one of those things, you know, he signed me to 2 contracts, and, you know, sometimes we still cross paths and say hi to him, and he's just... Still my favorite player. Doesn't matter if he traded me.
Playing for your favorite player growing up, being your boss, the one who controls all the shots. Like, what was that like? Were you, because Steve Yzerman, to me, my husband plays for him now. Like, he is the most wonderful human being, but I am still so intimidated every time I'm in the same hallway as him. Like, I tell my boys to stand like a soldier and shake his hand every time he walks by, because that man is just, he has this presence about him. What's it like?
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's presence, and he's handsome as shit too. Well, let's be honest. He's a good looking man.
Googling right now.
Just, you know? Google. Yes.
And he's always dressed so well, and you're just like,
yes,
you know,
sharp
yeah.
dressed man. Sharp. Just always. An aura yes. about him. So that must have been intimidating, but also very cool at the same time, that you are living out your dream with the guy that made you fall in love with the sport, probably.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, to have him take over as a general manager when I was in Tampa, it was basically after my first year there. And I remember we were in Winnipeg for a exhibition game. I can't remember what was going on. And I think I was not playing that night. I had a growing thing. I was out just resting, and I was sitting on the trainer's table, and I hadn't met him yet in person, like actually one-on-one. And he kind of comes up to me and introduces himself. And I literally was like a deer in the headlights. I couldn't get the words out. I was like, I was like stuttering.
And so I was, you like, were starstruck.
Oh, I was so starstruck. I was like 25 years old, just couldn't even talk to him. And he was like kind of smiling. And, but after that, you know, we grew a great relationship. I mean, anything he said or mentioned or talked to me, you know, I was, you know, listening to every single word. Obviously, you know, he has obviously so much knowledge, I think, as a player, but as a person too. I mean, the way he led teams for so long, and just a good guy. I mean, he would, you know, he was definitely, I think he's a bit of a fashionista as well. Like, the guy dresses so well. And I remember that was probably 2012, 2011 in that time frame. And guys started wearing 3-piece suits more at that time. And so, like, myself, Teddy Purcell, Ryan Malone, all these guys, Stamkos, you know, we were always wearing these 3-piece suits. And I remember after a game, we won, I had a good game. He pulls me aside. He wants to talk to me about something, probably about the game, about some other stuff. And he's like, as he's talking to me, he's like smiling, and he stops mid sentence. He's like, where are you going tonight? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, your outfit, like you got a 3-piece on, like, this is nice. Like, what are you doing tonight?
Ooh, just inspired.
And I was like, yeah, hey, I'm probably going to be going out. He's like, good. He's like, with that suit, you should be doing something.
Oh my
tonight.
Gosh. So I love this.
Yeah. So he was, you know, he was always like telling jokes, and he knew when to, and that's when, you know, he was such a great leader. He knew when to be hard on us, but he knew when to back off when things weren't going well. You know, for example, another time we lose 8-1 in Boston, and Teddy Purcell and I are one of the last guys. We're walking to the bus, and we just got beat 8-1 by the Bruins in Boston. You know, it was one of those games. It just happens. And we're walking to the bus and Steve's over to the side kind of pacing. He just kind of like calls us over like that. And we walk over there, both of us, and he goes, "Hey, I know we just lost 8-1. He's like, "But Teddy, don't ever wear that fucking tie again."
Go burn it then, right away.
So we like, I'm like trying not to laugh. And he's trying not to laugh. And we're getting on the bus and we're trying to keep a straight face. And he just, Teddy looks over to me and he just goes, "Man, he's so cool." I'm like, "I know."
So. I love these stories because, like you said earlier, it's like the humanizing stories and like the humanizing stories of Steve Yzerman, who is this mythical character to a lot of people. You know, it's just so cool to hear their personalities and just, you know, they're part of it and they're one of the guys too that knows exactly what you've been through, but to push the right buttons as well.
Yeah, no, it's those are some fun days. And like I said, to be able to say that I got to play for my favorite player is pretty special.
I can't really add any stories of him, but somebody we all have in common is Burge. So
talk about sharp dressed man.
I was gonna say as you were talking about him, I was just like, had like thought bubbles of Burge in my head, you know, just
Burgey Burge.
Yeah, Burge. We were there with him when he wore his infamous red suit. So I think the funniest stories of him. But do you have any fun stories of Burge?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Burge, you know, Burge is an hilarious person. And a super dry sense of humor where you don't know if he's kidding or not, but then he'll just give you like a half smirk and you're just like, really? Like, you know, and he'll make you feel like stupid like with his jokes, right? So, you know, I think with Burge, I mean, I guess another trade story, and just because Burge is such a good man and, you know, he does care. He cares so much about his players.
So much.
So much. He cares so much about his players. And I think people need to hear that because it's true. I mean, that guy cared so much about his guys. And I remember when I was being traded from Montreal, and it was like days up to the trade deadline, and he was so like honest with me. You know, he was like, "Hey, I just want to keep you in the loop. What's going on?" And he doesn't have to do that, but he understood. You know, I've been traded a few times already towards the end of my career. I remember it was on trade deadline day and he brought me in. It was a practice day. And he said, "Hey, listen, you know, I got a deal in place for Philly. They're obviously a really good team. They're going for it this year." He's like, "But if you don't want to go, he's like, "I'll cancel it. It's done." And I was like,
amazing.
I didn't even know what to say. I was kind of like taken back and I'm like, "Burge, I appreciate that so much, but you know, I'll go, you know, obviously I want to win." And it was very hard for me because I really, really enjoyed my time in Montreal. And it was one of those places where, I mean, you girls know when I was there, I was only there for parts of two seasons, but it felt like I was there so much longer. And it was such a good fit. So, you know, I knew Burge had a deal in place and, you know, I know how that works. You don't want to screw them over with that. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I'll go. And he was just, you know, he was so great about it. I mean, I don't really have much anything bad to say about Burge. And ironically enough, and unfortunately, because of that year with COVID, we ended up playing Montreal in the first round in the bubble. So it was like he traded me and then we ended up playing in the first round because of the circumstances. So, I mean, those are kind of the stories I have about Burge. I mean, other than that, I mean, I would say, you know, now he's working for the Kings in an advisory role there. And while I was still playing, you know, he would come up to the gym sometimes and he'd work out with Ty and I. And I remember, he was in there.
We have stories of that too.
And you know how, and he's in good shape and he's jacked and now he's got all these tattoos like I do. So, you know, he's a cool dude and definitely a guy that keeps in shape. And I'm not gonna lie, he did like the Versa climber with us one day. And he did pretty good. I was like, "Not bad." He, you know, just kind of winks at me, you know. So,
oh my gosh, Burge is another one of those intimidating. Like before you get to know him, like when you just see him and you're around him, you're like, "Oh my god, I can't even talk. I don't even know what to say."
Yeah.
He's so scary. And then you get to know him and you hear all the stories. Like Jeff has told me so many hilarious stories about Burge from being his GM to when Berge was a player. I'm just like rolling. This guy is, I mean, in Montreal, the practice rink was connected to like the local gym that we all had memberships at. And instead he didn't work out where the players worked out. He would come to the public gym where like all of us were with our like workout class who had childcare that day. And we're like, why is Berge in the public gym with us? Like, I can't go to my workout time now while my husband's at the rink because I know Berge is going to be in there. Just funny stuff like that. And they're just like laugh about it. And he would like smile and be like on with your day. Like, you're good.
say a witty joke and move on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It make you laugh or make you feel like, oh yeah, he's making fun of me right now. Yeah.
So speaking of tattoos, you have a lot of tattoos. When did you get your first tattoo? Do you have any that you regret? Do you have any that are your favorite?
I got one on my thigh when I was like 18, and it's not good. It's not good. But I think that every person that has a lot of tattoos has at least one tattoo where they're like, yeah, that one's terrible.
And it's maybe the 18-year-old decision.
I think that's probably part of it.
You know, my husband, who not a lot of people know, has a tattoo, and he has two, and he's like not pegged to be the tattoo guy. And I think the 18-year-old decision one on his thigh is his biggest regret too.
Yeah, that's usually how it works. And it's usually, you know, it's like the, you know, you're 18, you're playing junior hockey, everyone's got tattoos.
That's it, you know? Nate. You're,
that's what it is.
Nate, you've
that's
seen Tyler's, right? At the beach when his
Oh yeah. I've seen I think most hockey guys have
their last name somewhere.
Or they all have one really bad tattoo. It's a fact.
Julie, have you seen Tyler?
I don't think so. Well, like, I don't think I've ever been.
He's got Toffoli and Old English script on his ribcage. So, yep.
Oh, that's always nice. Nice reminder.
Yep, anytime.
I think it looks nice. It's Ty's thing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my. I just love, like, Tyler to me could, like, pass as those, oh, you have a tattoo? Like, when people find out Jeff has a tattoo, they're like, they're blown away. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? When you live in Hermosa Beach and you all play volleyball on the weekends, everyone gets to see you.
But it's like the type of person like Nate, you can pull off the look and think like Jeff is Jeff and
Ty is Ty.
Oh, come on, girls. I think you're more than Jeff is Jeff and Ty is Ty.
They're great in their own ways, but tattoos amongst their bodies just does not mesh well. But
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I'd say that one is my bad one. And then, I mean, I don't know. My sleeves, obviously, spent a lot of time doing those. But, I mean, all the stuff that has meaning towards my kids, I think. Like, I have, you know, my son's, as I'm trying to show you guys through the camera, you know, I have my son's stuff. I have my daughter's nickname on my hand there, YY. So, you know, I don't know. I think it was one of those things, once I started, it was like,
it's like a work of art now.
Yeah, it is. And so, I mean, I don't know if I'm done. Probably not.
Is there a tribute to like Alaska on there?
There is. Yeah. On my right arm, it's like pretty much all Alaska.
Oh,
nice. So yeah, it's definitely turned into something that I enjoy. It's like which sounds crazy, but it's like, I kind of enjoy that, the tattoo, like pain. It's weird. I like kind of, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, it's weird. I kind of like it, but it hurts, but it's like after it's done, you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, this is great. So it's definitely turned into something that has taken over my body, I guess.
Well, like you can pull it off.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I know. Right?
Okay. Kat, I don't know if we're going this direction, but I think we want to like clear up. We had our first instance last week's episode where we got a little
podcast life, right? We're putting ourselves out there. So we want to talk about yours, but first we need to clear something up for ourselves.
Because it deals with the hockey life.
Yes. Okay. We asked Mackenzie Larkin last week about Dylan's pregame meal, and she told us that he makes his own meal, and we were fascinated.
But the way it was edited and presented to the world was that, like, he makes his own meal, big deal. Wow. And it was like the response was like, oh my gosh, a grown man makes his own meal. We're like,
wow, he boiled water.
Yeah, like, we're like, wait. We need to address this situation, because this is like, and now talking to a former player, like, it just clarify, like, it's unheard of for the player to take the little amount of time, like, you'll have a little amount of time before the game in between pregame skate. Most people take naps to get ready. Like, they have a whole regimen. And it's just unheard of.
Yeah, I think it's rare now. I think when I was maybe earlier in my career, it wasn't as rare then.
Okay.
Oh.
Because you didn't have, like, I mean, now you have meals at the rink all the time, right? Everyone provides a meal, so it's easy. Or guys have a place they all want to go. They go to mm-hmm. a restaurant they all go to. So, and then I think it was, yeah, then I remember some guys doing it, but I do agree. I was never a guy that did that. I never wanted to use that time to go cook something for myself. So, yeah, I would say it's extremely rare, and I would have the same reaction as you probably right now.
Yeah. We were just like, it's not like, okay, yeah, boiling water. It is not a phenomenon, but it's the fact that they're taking the little, like, that amount of time out of their little amount of time mm-hmm. prepping for the game, whatever that routine might be, to do that because of either meals being provided from the rink or having that restaurant that you go to that you get the same thing.
Yeah.
So we just needed to clear that up and have a little.
I think it'd be the same in any sport, to be honest. Like, but in hockey, you know, you guys practice, you eat, and then you nap. And, like, people don't really know about the nap, which is, like, really awkward to, like, explain to non-hockey people, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's just you guys have –
it's like a toddler.
Creatures of habit. So, like, it's just – it's just, you know, we were shocked and fans thought that
– But some players –
We really are big babies, I guess you could say. On game days, we really are. It's like we wake up, we got to have our breakfast. We go to the rink, you know, maybe we skate, maybe we don't. We eat our meal, and it's like, don't touch us. Don't talk to us. We got a nap. And then we got our snack, wherever, go to the game, and it's like a whole day. Yeah, but it is, you know, it's part of the job, but it is definitely is like a big baby kind of thing, I guess you could say.
Big babies don't cook for themselves.
No. Exactly. So that's shocking news. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying all that. But did you have any superstitions when you played?
So I call them routine more than
I love that playoff. It's just a routine.
It's just a routine. It's part of the routine. Yeah, I guess, you know, there would be certain things that I would do if, you know, say I was playing really well or I had a point streak going. If I was wearing a suit or tie, I'd probably keep that same suit on, or I wouldn't change my stick. So those things, I guess, depended on how I was playing. And then I always, you know, little things like I always put my left stuff on first before my right. I don't know why, but it just became
feels right.
It just felt right. And I remember, like, if the equipment manager was, like, you know, sharpening my skates or something like that, and had to be done quick, I'd be like, hey, left one first, because it would screw me up. Like,
he's looking at you like, what the? Okay.
Yeah, probably. And it would screw me up, like, having to put my right one on first. It'd be like, this is not, I can't do this, you know. Yeah. So I don't know if that's
that's great.
Probably not very healthy, but, you know.
Was there a team that you were most superstitious on?
Probably Anaheim, because there were so many other superstitious guys there at the time, and we were really good in the 3 years I was there, and we won a lot. So, and we had some good long playoff runs. So I think that maybe some of the superstitions, like, we rubbed off on each other, which was almost bad.
You had to keep routine.
Keep routine. Exactly. It's not superstition, just routines. Yeah. Yeah.
Just preparation. I love that.
Exactly.
Segueing from your playing career into kind of the post-hockey life world, you are now the host of a new podcast, Energy Line with Nate and JSB, which we'll get into. But I just want to talk about, like, the post-career kind of – I don't want to – and I'm not saying it for you or anybody, like, that kind of, like – what we hear is, like, the identity crisis that a lot of players go through after their whole life has been hockey and that's all they know. And then after, it's just this kind of shock of, like, oh gosh, what do I do? I want to know, Nate, did you experience anything like that, like in your first year post playing career, and if you went through any down like times there and what you did, you know, to kind of find your new niche in this like broadcasting world?
No, I'm so glad you asked that question, because I think it's something every player goes through, and it's not easy. I think every player would say that. I mean, even the guys that have had Hall of Fame careers, you know, have told me the same thing. They said, you know, no matter what, retiring is hard. You know, it's, you know, if you think about it, it's something that, you know, I did my whole adult life from the time I was turned 20, I turned pro and retired at 38. So, you know, guys don't really know much different, you know, when they're done. So to have it jump into something else, it can feel very foreign. You know, you feel like a fish out of water, because, and you guys can attest to this, while you're playing, you know exactly what you're doing for 12 months out of the year. Every month, you know exactly what you're going to be doing. Starting in September, you know where you have to be. You know what's going on. And then even in June, you know
what you're programmed.
Doing. You're programmed because you're training. You're having to do this many days a week. Yeah, you may have some fun stuff going on in the summer, but it's all programmed for you. It's built in. So when you're done, obviously, you know, that goes away. And, you know, that I think that's the part that really can be a huge struggle for guys, is that transition into, you know, I don't have to be at the rink at this time. I don't have to be on the plane at this time. Okay, I have to train this many days a week. I have to do this. I have to eat this. And then it's all gone. So I think for me that it was hard, and sometimes it still can be hard. You know, I think it's still sometimes, you know, going to the rink or being around it, it can, it brings back that, those feelings, those vibes, I guess you could say. So it's something that it takes time. And now being on the other side of it, you know, you got to try things. You know, I tried coaching last year, with the Kings minor league team. I did some stuff with them, and, you know, it just wasn't the right fit. And now I'm you know, going into this side, the media stuff aside, and I'm really enjoying it. And I think it's just staying close to the game. You know, obviously I love hockey. It's given me so much, and to me, my family, everybody. So I guess in a way it's kind of nice to still be involved, but do it in a different way. And I guess kind of give back at the same time. So I'm really glad you asked that question, because I think it's a question and an answer that hopefully that people can hear and know that guys struggle, you know, when they're done playing hockey. You know, it's tough, and I'm not trying to compare it to a military veteran, you know, because obviously two completely different things, but it's very similar in the fact that, you know, once you're done playing, once you're coming out of the military, you know, your programs are built and schedules are built, and now it's done.
Yeah, the accountability is gone.
Accountability, exactly.
Maybe your purpose, you feel like, is, but you're not done. You know, it's just finding, you know, how to channel that new. And I love how you said that it's not just guys that had fleeting careers. It's Hall of Famers that you might not even like expect it, because you might not hear about that, you know, side or their struggle that they went through, because, you know, they can get to the other side quicker, whatever it is. So I think it's really important that you touched on, like, it can hit on all, you know, spectrums.
Yeah. And I understand now why guys would always tell me, older guys would always say, play as long as you can, you know, and that's what I tell guys. They say, you know, oh, I'm thinking about, you know, I'm doing, you know, cause you don't realize it at the time until you're removed from it. And you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how, you know, that you really have to take advantage of that time that you're playing, because it goes
fleeting.
By so fast, so fast. So all I would say is the guys enjoy every single second, because it goes by quick.
Well, you do a really good job staying involved though. Like playing in the LA Kings charity event seemed amazing. Can you talk about that?
So yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it was. It was so cool. I mean, just to be able to, obviously I live in LA, you know, went through those horrific fires and was around for that. And then the Kings, the NHL did an unbelievable job of putting this event together in such a short amount of time. To be able to get some of the people they got there was incredible too. I mean, some of the celebrities, Vince Vaughn, Danny DeVito, Will Ferrell, Snoop Dogg. I mean, all these people that were a part of this to try and give back to the community and all of the first responders. It was awesome. I mean, that was another instance where, you know, where you're you're back down in the Kings locker room, and I'm sitting with, you know, Jordan Nolan, Teddy Purcell, Jarrett Stoll, Matt Green, all these guys that we know, and you know, you're in the locker room, we're putting our gear on, and you're start feeling that like rush through my body, you know, and then aww, you're going back on the ice and you're playing, and we're all, and it was just a great time. It was fun to be a part of it, but fun to experience that again and play in front of the big crowd, and you know, just have a lot of fun and for a good cause at the same time.
Who were your coaches again?
Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg. Which was great.
Does Snoop Dogg have any like hockey? I feel like I see Will Ferrell at the games all the time.
Snoop does some stuff with the Kings. He's done some pretty funny commentating.
Yeah, and people don't realize Snoop, a friend of mine works for Snoop. Kat knows him as well, mm-hmm, and he loves hockey. Like when it comes to playoff time, like playoff hockey, like Snoop will say there's nothing better than playoff hockey.
I love it.
So he loves it. So he's a huge fan and he was super into it. And they were both came in before the, you know, before our game and gave us a little pep talk, which was basically like a stand up comedy show, basically the two of them together. So it was a great experience.
That's awesome.
Looked amazing. Okay. So podcast host. Did you ever see yourself becoming a podcast host? Because I know you go on a lot of podcasts.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of did, because I knew if I was going to get in this avenue with hockey, with, you know, being on the media side, I knew maybe that was possible. And I always grew up, when I was younger, I always grew up watching SportsCenter and the broadcasters, and I always watched all of the, you know, the analysts and stuff. I always watched like NHL Tonight with John Butchercross and Barry Melrose, or whether it would be Bill, Gary Thorne and Bill Clement on ESPN. And I even go back to my days when I was young. I used to watch every Sunday night the Sports Machine with, was it Al Michael or George? No, George Michael. George Michael Sports Machine. And I kind of enjoyed watching that part of it. So I was a little bit drawn to it and wanted to see if I would enjoy it like, you know, I did when I was watching. So I think it was one of those things, I knew that once I got into this that I might enjoy it, and I really do.
What's been your favorite part of it?
Just being able to connect with, like, you know, being able to connect with players and getting to also get to talk with coaches and GMs and kind of hear, you know, their side of things as well, and being able to kind of be a voice and pass it along to fans in a way that I can from my playing days, you know, whether it's, you know, telling stories and, you know, just having fans, you know, really get excited about hockey.
Well, you have a great inside look to all of things NHL and across the league, because you have played on so many teams. But I will say too, you have a wonderful podcasting voice to listen to.
Thank you.
We did our talking about that. Yeah.
We were like, wow, his like very great podcasting voice. So you have that for you as well.
Thank you very much.
And I feel like it really just buttoned up everything you said. Now you have this platform and you get to reminisce on old times and bring up new ones. So
Yeah, definitely. No, it's been a lot of fun, and hopefully it keeps going for a while. We'll see.
Are there any guests that you can tease coming up?
Eric Tolsky. Very cool. Of Carolina Hurricanes is coming on to break down all the trades. That obviously was
a
big topic of conversation.
And Rantanen leaving. Mm-hmm. Wow. Big talks coming. I will tune in.
Big talks.
You know, get me dialed in on the real hockey, you know, deal sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we want to wrap up. We like to do what we call as our quick shootout questions. So just quick, right off the cuff, what are you watching right now?
White Lotus.
And do you think it's as good as the past seasons?
No.
We agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
That's the right answer.
Season two.
Season two is pretty good. Season two is pretty good.
Hard to beat.
Favorite place you've ever vacationed?
Spain.
Where in Spain?
I went to Madrid and Mallorca.
But I went there in college, and my friend just sent me the clip back. She's like, should we go back? I'm like, heck yeah.
Yeah. Mallorca was incredible.
Yeah. I went skydiving in Spain. That was my take home from Spain. Yeah. It was,
I don't see you as a skydiver, Julie.
I don't see myself as one either, but what you do when you're young is pretty dumb. Your all-time favorite concert?
Pearl Jam.
A starstruck moment outside of hockey?
Ooh. That's a tough one. maybe just walking by, not even meeting him, but Tiger Woods, just seeing him right up close, you know, that was kind of one of those whoa at first.
All-time favorite movie?
A River Runs Through It.
Oh, wow.
Favorite jersey you've ever worn?
Favorite jersey I've ever worn.
And that's not a double meaning. That's not meaning your favorite team. I just mean, like, was there a retro one? Like, what's your favorite jersey you've ever worn?
I'd say just because I think they're original six team, but the Montreal Canadiens jerseys, I think, were probably the best. I don't know. I think are one of the best. I never got to play for the Detroit Red Wings. I love their jerseys as well, but I'd say probably Montreal.
You could put on that Steve Yzerman one that you were gifted.
Yeah, I could. I could put that
on. Oh my gosh. Okay, the funniest fan base, or just maybe most interactive, like where you've had the most interactions, I guess?
I'd probably say Montreal and Philly. I'd say Philly was up there because they're so passionate about their sports in that city that they're extremely interactive with you, positive or negative.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
Montreal, I mean, the fans are just so funny, though. The humor is, like, amazing. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it is great. Montreal is one of the best as well.
Favorite arena you've played in for, like, a team that you haven't played for?
I would say Madison Square Garden. I'd say probably is probably the best, I think, just because it has a vibe in there. It's, you're at MSG, you know, it's New York.
Yeah, that's, you know, the right answer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I scored my first NHL goal there too. So that's probably another reason why. So yeah.
That's cool.
For sure. Who is the most underrated player you've ever played with?
Jeff Petrie and Tyler Toffoli.
Oh, great answers.
We agree.
Yeah. Those two guys are definitely up there for sure. Other guys, I would say, that's hard. I mean, I can't even answer that one. I'm just going to say Jeff Petrie and Tyler Toffoli. Good
answer. You can write in on the post or something. Like, perfect, this is perfect. After you've thought about it.
Past or present, LA Kings player you text with the most?
Past. Probably Teddy Purcell. Yeah, likely.
Same question, but from the Montreal Canadiens during your time.
Now, probably not as much. Pass, probably Max Domi.
And finally, before we wrap this up, what is your favorite thing to do on a day off?
Favorite thing to do on a day off, I would say, would be when I was playing, was not doing a whole lot. I didn't really do much. Yeah, I would, like, relax, maybe go get a nice big brunch somewhere. I was a big breakfast guy, so I would do that. And then I think I would just relax, walk the dog. It wasn't much.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for being our trade bait episode.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Nate.
No problem.
All right. Well, that was amazing. Be sure to check out Energy Line with Nate and JSB. He's so great. I mean, we've known him for a long time, both Julie and I. So
yeah, it's been forever since I've talked to him, but it felt like picking up, you know, right where we left off. So that was super fun. But anyways, I think it's time to wrap it up.
That was our first multi-interview episode. So
yeah,
we're kind of long. Sorry.
So thanks for tuning in to Never Offside. Go like, subscribe, follow, share with your friends and family, and go listen to past episodes. And make sure you follow us at Never Offside Pod.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.